Well, just in the past few weeks, we have seen the evidence of false teachers. Graphically displayed on our television screens, we saw the remains of Marshall Applewhite and the followers called Heaven's Gate. The cult, 38 people followed this man. They followed a false teacher and put themselves to death, whether his name was Applewhite or Bo or Doe. I read this week that he said that his spirit was the same spirit that embodied Jesus Christ, that the spirit that was in his container was the same spirit that was in the container that people called Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. He said that he could lead others to a new level to escape this fallen world. Now, most of us look at this as disbelief, and if somebody came to us and said, you know, there's this UFO behind this comet up there, and, you know, if we want to get out of these containers, we can follow this man, we would say, no way. But the problem is there are many false teachers who are much more subtle. They come into our churches. They're on television. They're just as dangerous. They deny that Jesus Christ is God and Savior. They may say He's a God, but they don't say that He is the God and that He is the Savior. They deny salvation is by faith. They add works to it. They say you must do certain things. You must keep doing certain things if you're going to get to God somehow. They seek money and power and fame. They deny the Scripture by adding to it or taking away from it. There are false teachers. In one of Peter's letters, he wrote that there's going to come a time in the church that there will be false teachers. Jude writes in his letter and says they're already here. And we know the truth is that in our time, even though it's way past the time of Jude, that there are false teachers in the churches even today. There are people who deny the Scripture. They take the authority for themselves. They promise new truths that are different from the Bible. They lead people astray. And they lead people to their death. Now, as we study this book, and you may say, well, Jimmy, you know, you're going through this. You're pretty hard on these false teachers. Well, I'm not really hard on them. Jude's hard on them. God's hard on them. The truth is, they're dangerous people. They lead people astray. They tell people things that are different from the Bible. They tell people things that are wrong. And people are led astray, and they perish. They're very dangerous. This morning, Jude is going to give us, in verses 12 and 13, five vivid illustrations to describe these false teachers. It's a warning to each of us as we look at this so we can recognize them. Now, as we begin, let's just realize where we are in our study. If you want to, if you got your outline, I think it's on gray paper this morning. And this is our outline for the book of Jude. We've used it all the way through. I just want you to see where we are so you can get the flow. As you notice in verses 1 and 2 is the opening where Jude basically said that he is Jude and he's writing to the believers. Verses 3 and 4 were the purpose of the letter. He started out that he was going to write about the common salvation that we have. But he said, I must write you and tell you to contend for the faith because false teachers have come into the church. We got to know what we believe and why we believe it and stand for it because there are people out there who teach things that are wrong. He says they'll be judged. In verses 5, 6, and 7, he basically gives three Old Testament examples of how God judges those who are in rebellion, just like he's going to judge the false teachers. Then in verses 8 through 16, we really get the details, and this is where we are on the false teachers. We saw that their conduct is they reject authority and they live by the flesh. We saw the three woes, which took us a good bit of time. In fact, that was the last 3 weeks in our study. He said they've gone the way of Cain, which is works for salvation. They've got the error of Balaam, which is for money, leading people astray. And the rebellion of Korah, which is rejecting God and His Word and the authority. We have seen that. Moving from verse 11, we get into verses 12 and 13, where Jude gives us five descriptions or five illustrations of these false teachers. Let me read the verses 12 and 13, and as I read them, see if you see the five things that he calls them, and then we'll come back to it. Verse 12 says, "These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." Five things. He calls them hidden reefs. Now, some of your Bibles say hidden spots. So we'll talk more about that in a second. Hidden reefs, waterless clouds, fruitless trees, wild waves, wandering stars. That's how he describes the false teachers. See, these hidden reefs or hidden spots, they're an unseen danger. Waterless clouds, they're false. They promise things that aren't true. Fruitless trees, they're dead. They're fakes. Wild waves, he talks about their shame, and we'll talk more about that. Wandering stars, they're aimless. They're here, and then they're gone. Well, let's see these false teachers. And as we've been seeing them, of course, all the way through the study, at least up to this point, that's been his emphasis. As we think about them, there's one thing that seems to stand out over and over that we've seen, and that is they promise, but they don't deliver. They're false. They're fakes. They're liars. They say one thing, but they do another. They say they're from God, but they're not. They say they have the truth, but they're liars. They promise to help others, but they really only help themselves. Let's see what he has to say. Five ways he describes them. Let's begin at verse 12. He says this, "These men are those," and he goes on to say, "are hidden reefs in your love feast, they're clouds without water, they're autumn trees without fruit, they're wild waves of the sea, they're wandering stars." He says, "these men." Now, I want you to understand, these men refer back to who he's been talking to in verse 11, in fact, the whole letter. These are the ones that have works for salvation, the way of Cain. These are the ones that for money will lead you astray, the error of Balaam. These are the ones who reject God and His Word. That's the rebellion of Korah. That was the examples that he gave. Look what he says about them. The very first way he describes them, these are men, are those who are, and now this is the New American Standard, says, hidden reefs in your love feast. Now, the NIV says blemishes in your love feast. The King James says spots in your love feast. The Greek word there can mean a rock, or it can mean a blemish or a stain. The New American Standard translated it as a rock or a reef, a rock up under the water. And the NIV and the King James translated it as a spot or a blemish. He says, there are rocks in your love feast, there are spots or blemishes in your love feast. The idea there is there's something hidden in your fellowships and in your worship. See, the idea is that they come into the body and they're hidden because they act like they're believers. They act like they're teachers. They act like they're one of you. That's what a false teacher. And he says they're hidden reefs, they're spots. It's the thing that when a ship would come into the harbor, they didn't see it. There was the rocks up under the water and they hit them and just destroyed the ship. He's saying that's what they're like. They're blemishes, they're rocks, they're hidden, and they will destroy you in our churches. They slip in unaware. See, that's what he said back in verse 4. He says, beware, for these certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Unnoticed. They're not in the open. Let me tell you, a false teacher's not going to stand up and say, the Bible's not God's Word. He's going to get up and say, the Bible contains some great things and some great truths. However, there are some other truths and some other things. There are people who stand up and say, God gave me a message to tell you. Now, it's not here, it's here. They're not going to stand up and say they deny Jesus Christ. They'll say Jesus Christ was great. He was a God, not the God. He might be a way, but not the way. They're going to tell you that you're God. They're going to tell you that God's inside you. God's inside all of us. I got a letter this week from somebody that said we're all equal. Plants, animals, everything. They wanted to know if I wanted to have a service in which we'd bless animals up here. Because we're all the same. We're not all the same. God created us in the image of God. We're different. There are false teachers. They slip in. They cause destruction. Secretly, they come into the churches with messages that bring destruction hidden, and many people do not suspect a thing. Notice what this says, whether yours says there are spots in your love feast, blemishes in your love feast, or reefs, hidden reefs in your love feast. What in the world is a love feast? What are they talking about? Well, in the early church, when they would come together, I want you to understand, you know, you work 6 days, rest on the seventh, which was the Sabbath, which is Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday. We as believers worship on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. So that's why the church began worshiping on Sunday. Now, normally in the first century, Sunday was not an off day like it is for us. So most believers would go to work. They would work all day, and then in the evening, they would come together for worship. Much like our Wednesday night service, where people go to work all day and then we come together to the church and we have a meal here. We come in and we have prayer and singing and we teach the Word and we do all that. Well, that's what they would do in the first century. When they would come together as believers, in a sense, they would all bring food and they would have what was known as the agape feast or the love feast. It would be like a meal. They would all eat together and then someone would pray and then they would teach the Word and they would have time of singing. And then at the very end, usually, they would observe the Lord's Supper. So when believers would meet together, they almost always ate because it was the end of a day. He says, they're hidden reefs, they're stains, they're spots in your love feast. They slip in and they worship with you and they sing with you and they eat with you. But they're not believers and they're false teachers and they want to lead you astray. That's the plan. In Acts chapter 2, they wrote what the church was like, and it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, fellowship, that's unity, breaking of bread, Lord's Supper, and agape feast, and then prayer. That's what the church would do, and these false teachers have slipped into the meetings. They've slipped into the body. Be careful. The picture that Jude gives, especially in the New American Standard, is that those rocks that the ship would hit and be destroyed. Paul gives the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Don't turn over there, but verse 19. He says, keep the faith, keep a good conscience. Some have rejected the faith, and they've suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. They hit one of those rocks. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says, there are men who have gone astray from the truth. They're saying the resurrection has already taken place, and they have upset the faith of some. That's what the false teachers do. They upset the faith. They fool you. They say that there are things that are... No, this is not right. This is not right. Let me tell you what's really right. Really, where did you get that? Well, God gave that to me. Notice how he describes them. He says there are hidden reefs, spots in your love feast. When they feast with you, they come in, they eat with you without fear. They're not afraid of the consequences. The NIV, the New American Standard, says caring for themselves. The NIV literally says shepherding themselves, and that's the Greek word. That means they take care of themselves. See, their whole purpose is to take care of themselves. They act like they want to take care of people. They get sometimes in places of responsibility, and they act like they want to take care of you, but they actually want to take care of themselves. I saw something two nights ago, a guy on TV, and he said, I want you to send money to me, to my ministry, but it's for you. It's for your blessing. Because see, if you send money to me, God's going to give money to you. No, no, no. It's for him. He wants the money. He acts like it's for you. Let me tell you, you don't give to get blessed. You give as an act of worship. You give as an act of love, and you give as an act of trust. Your motive for giving is not so that God will give you something back. Your motive for giving is love to God, worship to God, and trust of God. That guy's telling you, you give to God, so he will give to you. But actually, you're giving to him. Make sure you send it to this ministry, and then you will be blessed. That's what they do. It says, caring for himself. That's what he does. So the first thing we see, as these false teachers slip into the church, they're like rocks or spots. They're secretly hidden. They will cause destruction. They pretend to be part of the body, but they only care about themselves. Be careful. Here's the second description. He says they're clouds without water carried along by the winds. Clouds without water. Now remember we said over and over that they promise but don't deliver. They're like a cloud that comes up and you need a rain and you say, look, the clouds are coming. Looks like it's going to rain on the garden. Looks like we're going to be okay. And then it doesn't rain. We go, I didn't have any water. False teachers, same thing. They promise truth, but they don't have truth. False teachers promise the truth, but it's actually a lie. There's nothing there. Joseph Smith said, you'll be a god. You're not a god. Mary Baker Eddy said, there's no sin. There's no sickness. There's no death. Where is Mary Baker Eddy? You know what? She died. Jehovah's Witness said Jesus Christ is a God. He's not the God. He is the God. He's the living God. He's the Creator, the Redeemer, and of everything. New Age says God's in you. And that you're part of God and everybody's part of God. No, that's not. That's pantheism. God is separate from His creation. He's not part of the creation. They're all lies, and they promise truth, but they bring lies. Proverbs 25, verse 14 says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts falsely. They're clouds without water. They promise truth, but they have nothing. By the way, Jesus Christ is the living water, and everything He ever promises always comes to pass. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. John 17, 17, Jesus Christ said, Thy Word of God is truth. If you want truth, you go to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ. That's where the truth is. Notice, carried along by the winds. Listen, they go back and forth, whatever they want. You know, I've been going around through the channels trying to get some information for these studies. And let me tell you, I saw a guy last night, and here's what he said. He said, I want to tell you something, that God cannot know you unless you give to this ministry. That's what he was saying. God cannot really know you and know that you love God unless you sent money to their ministry. Now, we know that God knows everything, and He knows you whether you give money to that ministry or not. But the guy said, wait a minute, stop. Don't say the word theology to me, and don't bring up the idea of the Bible. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not going to talk about the Bible. I'm just telling you God can't know you unless you send money here. But he didn't want to deal with the Bible. He said, let's don't talk about Bible. Let me just tell you what I want to tell you. That's false teaching. That's lies. They tell you lie, not truth. So what does Jude say? He says, first of all, watch out. They're rocks or blemishes. They cause destruction. They only care for themselves. They're waterless clouds. They promise, they talk about truth, but they're only lies. Look at the third thing. He says, they're autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. They're fruitless trees. They're autumn trees without fruit. Now, the autumn tree was this, that it was the very end of the fruit growing. If the tree was going to have any fruit at all, it would have some by this time. So if it doesn't have any, it's not going to have any. And he says they're autumn trees without fruit. They're fruitless. They're fakes. They're false. They're dead. See, his point is that you go to that tree and you look at it and you say it ought to be fruit on it. It ought to have life in it. There's nothing there. And he really emphasizes the fact that it's dead because he says it's doubly dead, uprooted. See, we look at these people and they act like they're alive, but they're dead. They've never put their faith in Jesus Christ. They're not born again. They're not alive in Christ. They're dead in sin. They have a form of godliness, as Paul writes, a form of godliness but denying the power because they don't have the Holy Spirit. He says they're doubly dead. Not only are they spiritually dead, but they're going to experience the second death, which is separation from God. They are uprooted. Jesus said in Matthew 15, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. It's a picture of a spiritually dead person. This is how he describes them. They're lifeless. They're fakes. There's no fruit. They will be cast away from God. We've seen all the way through there's judgment. We see this progression. Hidden rocks, which bring destruction. Waterless clouds, which promise truth, but they're lies. Fruitless trees, which are really fakers. They're dead. And in verse 13, we're going to see two more things. He shows us the character and the results. Look at verse 13. The fourth thing is they're wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. The Greek word here pictures an idea of waves that are just crashing on the shore and water and everything is going back and forth and it's in great turmoil. It's a roaring and a restlessness, and that's how he describes them. They go back and forth, crashing onto the shore, so to speak. Isaiah 57 verse 20 says, the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. Its waters toss up refuge and mud. Isaiah 57 20. That's how he describes them. They just go back and forth and crash and ramble. He says they're wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam. Literally it says foaming up their shame. And it literally says foaming up their shameful acts is what it says in the Greek. It says eventually you will see what they do. Not always at first, because they slip in, they bring destruction, they try to look like they're alive but they're dead, they try to look like they're giving you truth but they're giving you lies, but eventually it will be shown what they're like. They can't hide their evil ways forever. You can't. We found out about Applewhite. We found out about Koresh. We found out about some of these others. Eventually, false teachers will be made known. That's what he's saying. They're wild waves of the sea. They're casting up their own shame like foam. What a progression. Hidden rocks bringing destruction. Waterless clouds, promising truth but only lies. Fruitless trees, they're fakers, they're not alive, they're dead. They're wild waves showing their sinful acts, and it soon becomes known. There's one more thing, and he calls them wandering stars. The very end of verse 13, he says, they're wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Literally, it's shooting stars. They come and they're gone, just like that. They're false teachers. They arise, they fool people, they destroy, they take others with them. They're found out and then they're gone. See, where is Jim Jones? Where is David Koresh? Where is Marshall Applewhite? Where are they? They came and they're gone. Just like that. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd never seen a shooting star. I wanted to see one. I remember reading in a little magazine thing that said, if you just go outside your house, lay down on the ground and look up at night, and in 15 minutes you'll see bunches of them. I laid one time for an hour. I never saw a thing. I thought, this is ridiculous. So one night I finally got out there, and what do you know? I saw one. It was just like this. I said, man, I waited all this time for that? I mean, it was over before you know it. That's what the false teachers are. They rise up and they're gone. They come and they go. They're not like the fixed stars, which people would say, there's the North Star, that's where we go. Gives us our direction. They're shooting stars. There's no direction there. The end result, he says, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. He's talking about the separation from God. Matthew 24:25 and some other places say that when it's all over, there'll be the separation from God in the darkness and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Edmund Herbert in his commentary describes them this way. He says they are sensual men appearing upon the scene, professing to bring new light, but like wandering stars who are destined to disappear in the darkness. The end result is judgment. We've seen it all the way through the book. Verse 4 says their condemnation is sure. A little bit later in verse 11 he talks about their destruction. He says they will perish. As we look at these two verses this morning, we see a vivid description of these false teachers. Help us as we think. It helps us to discern. Think about it. They bring destruction. They're hidden. They're not up front. They promise truth, but they're really lies. They're waterless clouds. They're fakers. They're dead. They're fruitless trees. They're known eventually by their shameful deeds. They're like those wild waves. They rise and fall into darkness as a falling star. Beware of these. Have you ever thought about the contrast of our Savior Jesus Christ and false teachers? See, He is the rock of our salvation, not hidden rocks of destruction. He is the living water, not the waterless clouds. He is the tree of life, not the fruitless trees. He leads us beside the still waters, not the wild waves. He is the bright and morning star, not a shooting star. We must look to Jesus Christ and the Word of God so we'll be able to recognize these false teachers. Let me tell you something. Don't be fooled by them. At Countryside, we always say that you always go to three areas. What do they say about salvation? What do they say about the Bible? And what do they say about Jesus Christ? Make sure you know. Because they will come and they will say that the Bible is a good book. No. The Bible is God's written revelation, perfect and true, given to us by God through human beings. It is perfect. It is inspired of God. It is His word for us. It is the authority of our lives. False teachers want to be the authorities. This is the authority. Don't let any man or anybody else tell you, God told me to tell you this. This is what God told you. This is the authority. They say that Jesus Christ is a good man. The Word of God says Jesus Christ is the Son of God who left the glories of heaven and came to this earth to die on the cross in our place, to take on humanity so He could take our sins upon Himself, that He could be the substitute that God sent into the world so that He could die in our place, paying for our sins. And He did do that, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again 3 days later, walked on the earth 40 days after that, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. That's who He is. And they will say that salvation is you doing something to get to God. And the Word of God says salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Don't let anybody change that. When you hear somebody teach, what do they say about Jesus Christ? What do they say about salvation? What do they say about the Bible? The false teachers come slipping in. Lies, not truth. They're dead. Sinful acts. And they're going to be here, and then they're going to be gone. As we close, let me just give you an application, and that is this. Watch out for the false teachers. Be able to recognize them. The first thing is be careful. They're here. They lead people astray right now. They're in books, magazines, TVs, churches. Watch out for them. They're leading people astray. They're hidden. They bring destruction. They teach not the truth. They're fakers. They're here and they're gone. Be ready. You must know what you believe and why you believe it. You must be able to recognize these false teachers. What do they say about salvation? What do they say about the Bible? What do they say about Jesus Christ? They come offering new revelation. Works for salvation. They say they are the authority. They care for themselves. So what do we do? We have to be ready. And the way we can be ready is to study the Bible. To know the truth. To live out that truth and then pass it on. One of my favorite places in the Bible is Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the Word of God, that he would practice the Word of God, and that he would teach the Word of God. We must do that. We must know the Scriptures, we must live it out, and we must pass it on to others so that we can be trained and equipped and understand and be ready so that we won't be fooled by false teachers. That's why Ephesians 4:12 says to equip one another to do the ministry so the body of Christ can be built up. May we study God's Word, knowing it, applying it, and passing on the truths so that we can recognize false teachers who bring destruction to those who follow Him and whose result is separation from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage. Lord, we know it's hard when we think about these sort of things, but You have given us Your Word. For us to know it and apply it. Lord, we thank You that You have warned us. You show us what to look for. Lord, may we, each one in this room, dig Your Word, know it, understand it, know what we believe and why we believe it, know what we believe about salvation and the Bible and Jesus, so that when false teachers may slip in somewhere, somehow, that we would be ready, that we would know what they're like. Lord, I just thank You for this body of believers. Use us, Lord. That as we've gathered this morning, we've gathered to worship our Savior and to be equipped and trained. But Lord, as we scatter out in this community, use us to take the great message of salvation by grace through faith. Use us in this community to stand for the truth, because there have been and there are false teachers slipping into our churches and other places as well. Lord, use this body. Thank You for Jesus. And it's His name we pray. Amen.